Welcome back to the Breakaway Tuition Podcast. This episode is all about the mid-year run, basically the mid-year run to the finish line. Let's jump in. I really hope you enjoy this one. Goodness, I simply can't believe that it is already mid-year and a lot of our private schools are finishing tomorrow on Friday, the 18th of June, and our public schools go for one more week, but it's absolutely crazy how fast this year has gone, and we're already there, we're already at the beginning basically of term three. And so there's only two more terms left of school to go. And, yeah, I'm not sure whether this year's just gone really fast because last year was so interrupted and all over the place. But, yeah, I know lots of kids are pumped for the holidays. But I also know that our kids tend to go, like, a little bit crazy around the mid-year mark. And then we see them kind of lose themselves again towards the end of the year when the year draws to a close. But there are so many reasons why this is, and this episode is all about those reasons. You know, why do our kids hit the wall? You know, if I'm honest as well, I feel like we all hit the wall mid-year and at the end of the year as well, because there's just so many things that go on in school terms and so many things that we're trying to balance in our lives that, you know, it does seem to come in 6 month lots that we just sort of get to the point where we've had it, and you know, it seems like it doesn't matter what we do, it just doesn't get any better. So why do our kids hit the wall? And what types of things can we be doing during the holidays to help them recharge and regenerate? You know, one of the things that always fascinates me is the difference in weeks between private schools and public schools. But I do know a lot of private schools have 3 weeks off in the middle of the year. And if I'm honest, I really like the idea of kids having those 3 weeks off in the middle of the year. You know, 2 weeks is good, but it goes so quickly. And I just find that third week allows those kids just to reset that a little bit more and sort of recharge them better than the 2 weeks does usually. So, you know, I think that's a really positive thing that I see private schools putting in place. And like I said, because it allows, you know, not just your general holiday activities, but it just really, that extra week allows kids to just reset. And I think that makes all of the difference when they enter term three as well, because they tend to enter term three a bit more settled and really ready to learn, as opposed to still needing that little bit of extra time to sort of let their hair down. So if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I am quite passionate about kids having that break during the holidays, because they really do need that break. And as much as it's good to have our kids busy so there's not too much downtime and all of those types of things, sometimes our kids just really need the break where they're not scheduled in to do things and they can just relax. And I think even though we're all well-intentioned when we put our kids in for holiday activities and all different workshops and things that they can go and do, or maybe a camp here or there, although we're really well-intentioned in trying to get them engaging in things they like so they perhaps don't get bored, being bored is a positive thing because creativity comes from boredom. Not boredom themselves, but it also, if kids are given the opportunity to say that they're bored, it allows them to, I guess, engage with the world around them a lot more. And I think that's a really interesting point. You know, we, like I said just before, we're so well-intentioned in trying to make sure that our kids are comfortable and they're confident and they have things that they can do and enjoy in their time. But sometimes by us keeping them busy and continually busy, even if it's the things that they enjoy, because we're not giving them the break to just be a kid, then sometimes it can like cause them to over, you know, they kind of overcompensate and fall down, I guess, in terms of that. So it's not so much, I guess, fall down, but, you know, we're not allowing them the chance to relax and be themselves and, I guess, experience the other things around them. And I think it's hard. If you ask anybody how they're going, everyone's busy. Everyone's busy all of the time. And it seems to be this badge of honor if we're busy. And it kind of comes out like that for our kids as well. You know, sometimes the busier that our kids are, we feel like perhaps that's us taking the best care of them that we can because our kids are always busy. It's not necessarily the case. So in your 3-week break, if you have 3-week break, or in your 2-week break, if you're a public school kiddo, you know, in that time, by allowing our kids downtime and time to just be, that allows them to really reset and recharge properly so that they're not tired and overstimulated and can't get themselves back into an appropriate routine when school goes back. That's the first thing I want to just challenge you guys with. But, you know, our kids hit a wall mid-year and at the end of the year for so many reasons. So firstly, you know, our kids are so super tired. It's been a really busy half year. If they've done summer sport and then they're rolling into winter sport already, you know, they've had lots of training, they've had lots of things going on for them. There's no stop in that, you know. The terms are so full on with learning. And last year, I feel because it was harder for teachers to get kids out on school excursions, that there's lots of school excursions and experiences happening this year because, you know, we can kind of get the kids out to do those things again. So there seems to be an influx of excursions and, you know, your half yearly is your half yearly exams and then your reports off that, and it's just a whole lot, a whole lot of learning, a whole lot of sports, a whole lot of things that the kids have been engaged with over 6 months. And, you know, that's the first thing. You know, kids are tired. And term two is a pretty full-on learning term as well. There's lots and lots of learning that happens in term two. And like I said, sports, after-school activities as well. Sometimes our kids are actually expending more energy than they're consuming, and their nutrition value that they are intaking throughout the day, even their intake of water, they're not at the right levels to sustain their energy over time. And as much as we try to make sure our kids have good food to eat and all of those different things, that we try and make sure that we're providing for our kids, because they're just go, 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 go all the time, and their food intake isn't increasing with that go, 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 then they're simply tired. But, you know, mid-year is also, like I said, full of tests. It's full of exams in class, and these types of things obviously allow teachers to gain a snapshot of your child's learning and skill growth over the first half of the year. But the anxiety and the stress that is associated with those tests and those exams for our kids, and influx of assessment tasks, and, you know, perhaps also feeling overwhelmed, not just by that, but just by learning in general. All of that combines to, you know, pull our kids and push the stress up on our kids and create tiredness. And that, the mid-year hit of the wall is really, it's that tiredness that comes across. But it does amplify other behaviors in our kids. You might see it at home. You might see that at home their behavior is on a decline, or they're avoiding school. There could be school avoidance in there. There could be a return to separation anxiety type behaviors for our younger kids. And all of these things are exaggerated or exasperated by stress for our students and for our kids. But those things often do come out within mid-year and end of year, even for our kids that, you know, are simply, they don't struggle. These things, the overwhelm, comes out in this mid-year, period of time. So, you know, if your kid suddenly is struggling with behavior problems, or there's something going on for them that you're just not quite sure of what it is, and it's out of the blue, it hasn't happened previously, or it's not a characteristic they normally display, just remind yourself of how much your kids have been doing in the last 6 months, and that change is an indication that perhaps we need to pull back a little bit. Perhaps some of the activities that we're getting our kids to do, perhaps there's too many, and we need to pull back on those activities and give our kids that time to really reset. And you know, when I reflect back to being in the classroom, that did happen a lot of the time. You know, the kids that suddenly snapped at, you know, other students or teachers, and that was very unusual for that to happen. A lot of the time it came out of that stress and the anxiety and that overwhelm that the student had felt for the entire term, and the end of term was that breaking point. So, you know, that's just a quick snapshot of all the different things that create this midterm wall for our kids. But there's so many things that you can also do during the holidays, as well as, you know, towards the end of this term, to help your kids and to assist your kids as well. You know, firstly, make sure that you do plan downtime into your weekends, because even though there's sport and there's things on and family activities on the weekend, if we're not actually giving our kids the time to sit and just recuperate from a busy week, then we're not providing them with those downtime opportunities and that time that we all really need to reset as well, to be ready for the next week. If we're go, 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 go 7 days a week, and we're pushing our kids and pushing our kids for 10 weeks non-stop for 7 days a week, it's no wonder that they feel tired and perhaps sometimes resentful as well, because it is a lot. It's a lot for adults to be on the ball all the time and go, but it's also even more, or it's even harder for our kids who are on the ball all the time. The second thing to think about is, I mentioned before, foods and nutrition, that sometimes when we're giving our kids all these activities to do, we're not matching that increase in nutritional needs that are required for our kids to meet those demands. So ensuring that they are consuming plenty of nutritious foods that also help with the demands of learning. I think sometimes we overlook that using our mind and using memory recall and our brain and all of this mind learning work that the kids do at school, that is also a demand on the nutrition that we are consuming for our everyday lives as well. So ensuring that when there are periods of more activity, that we are increasing our kids' nutritional value, or at least having more foods and that nutritious food to offer them, then that's going to help them to have the energy to be able to keep going. The third one, I really, really love calming and mindfulness techniques for our kids. And it's something that I'm really happy to see coming through at the moment and coming through more. But, you know, if we show our kids those calming and mindfulness techniques to help them self-soothe, then that's going to help them in all situations, not just at home. It's going to help them in situations at school where perhaps they need a bit of a break or they need a bit of time out to reset themselves. And, you know, it's something that if we teach our kids now, they're not going to be clutching at straws when they reach adolescence and adulthood as well to learn these strategies to help soothe themselves and help themselves out, because it will already be second nature for them. Some of these self-soothing techniques and calming techniques are things like your calm breathing techniques, and those can be used prior to exams and tests as well. And they're quite the things that your child can do if they're in an exam situation which is causing them stress and overwhelm. Breathing techniques is something that only they can feel and see the benefit of, and it's not drawing attention to them through other kids in that, you know, test or exam situation as well. So, you know, that's something to consider. I will pop some calming and mindfulness techniques up for you guys as well. And, you know, reminding our students and our kids that tests and reports are only provided a snapshot in time is the biggest one. Obviously, mid-year and end of year both coincide with reports. And, you know, it can be really stressful for your child. Even if you say and you tell them again and again and again that you honestly don't care what their report says, because of whatever reason, your child still feels like if they get something deemed as a bad report or as they see as a bad report, then they will let you down. And that is one of the biggest causes of, you know, the stress and anxiety that our kids feel around these two times of the year, mid-year and end of year, is because of that report. So making a point of going through the reports that you receive with your child and discussing things that they have learned between last year's reports to now is a really good technique. You know, if we reiterate all the time that, you know, I don't care about your report or your report, Mark, you've just done the best that you can, as much as we think that that is helping our kids, sometimes it doesn't help them at all. But if we actually sit down and have a look at their report and look at, you know, look how far you have come from last year to this year, or, you know, you're struggling with this last year and now you're struggling with this other thing. So it's showing your child that there's progress being made. And, you know, reports are really hard for our kids, you know. But the last thing to sort of remind yourself of and your child of as well is that you love and support them through everything, and that grades and marks that they receive in school, they're not that important. I feel as a society, we put so much pressure on ourselves and on our kids and on the marks and on the grades, and we forget to actually look at the learning, you know. What is the learning that has been happening? Because whether a student reaches an outcome and they can tick that outcome off, or whether they sit at grade level, or whether they, whatever happens for them, the outcomes and the grade levels and all of the rigmarole, it's more for the teacher's use than your use as a parent, you know. It's more for the teacher to be able to see what things your child has achieved and what things that they're struggling with or still need to develop. But because that information comes to you guys at home, sometimes we forget to stop and even ignore the grades and the marks to a point and look at the learning that is happening. Because you know what, your reports that the kids get, they don't actually reveal your child's true talents. They don't show how wonderful your child is at singing or dancing or musical talents or sport. You know, it just shows that academic value from school. And sometimes perhaps we're placing the values of school in the wrong places. And like I said, look at the learning, look at What have you learned? What things did you learn this year so far that you didn't know last year? Or what things have you improved on this year that you know you struggled with a lot last year? Because those are the things that our kids need reminding of to allow them to be able to tackle any challenge that comes with them or comes towards them for term three. You know, developing confidence in our kids is a big one. Even if the school reports show that your child is doing fine, there's no issues, if your child is struggling with confidence, then if that's the one thing that can be changed for them, then that's the thing that you want to be changing, or that's the thing that you want to be helping, because feeling confidence in childhood then will allow our kids to grow into like adolescents and adults who are confident in themselves and their abilities and what they can do and what they can create. And I think that's particularly important for us all to remember, but for us to remember particularly now as reports are coming out. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Like I said, it's not unusual for our kids to hit that mid-year wall. It's not unusual for behaviour to change, because a lot of the time it's just based on the fact that they just need that bit of time, that bit of downtime to reset and recalibrate themselves ready for another school term. And we're mid-year, so, you know, hibernation with the winter always works well. But, you know, if your child is struggling, if they're struggling with confidence, if they're struggling with, you know, any learning-related thing to do with school, if you just want to give them a boost, then, you know, there's no harm in giving us a call to have a chat to us about your child's needs. You're never obliged to put them in for tutoring. You're never obliged to put them in for a set amount of time. But, you know, the biggest thing that you can give your kids is additional support, and additional support to increase their confidence in themselves and their belief in their ability and what they can do. Anyway, I hope you guys have a really awesome break. There will be another podcast episode next week, which will specifically be on reports for you, and be on how to, you know, get the most information you can out of your school reports, because sometimes there's a few hidden things in there that you might not realize. So until then, hope you guys have a really great week, and I'll catch you all then.